Hey, Susie, tell everyone about the Ultimate Opportunity Savings Account.
Listen up, everybody. If you want to start the best savings account out there, all you have to do is go to MyAlliant, Alliant.com, open up an account, put in $100 a month every single month for 12 consecutive months, and guess what? At the end of that time, Alliant will give you $100. And while the money's in there, you're going to be earning about 3%. It is the best way for you to save. And while you're there, why not take the Stay Smart in 24 quiz? Yeah, everybody.
All right, Susie, KT, are you ready for today's podcast?
Yeah, Robert, of course we're ready.
Because we are unstoppable.
Yeah.
Yeah, baby.
I put my armor on, show you how strong I am. I put my armor on, I'll show you that I am. I'm unstoppable. I'm a butcher.
April 18, 2024. Welcome, everybody, to the Women and Money Podcast.
And everyone smart enough to listen.
This is the KT and Susie Ask Us Anything edition. Want to ask a question? Just go to Ask Susie, S-U-Z-E, podcast, at gmail.com. Send in your question. If KT chooses it, it will be on the podcast. But I just have to say something. Thousands of questions have come in. Thousands and thousands and thousands. So just be patient. If you want, send in your question again. I don't know. I'm just telling you.
She's overwhelmed.
I'm overwhelmed
today. She's overwhelmed because there's so many. She loves to answer all of you.
Yeah.
Whether it's on the podcast or an email or any way she can. And she is overwhelmed today.
Because I want to answer
all right,
all
calm
of you.
Down. I'll help
you.
You
know what I was you cannot.
Just don't give me a rough question.
But you know what I was thinking? Wouldn't it be great if there was an artificial intelligence, Susie, that could answer every one of those questions? You never know.
Well, KT.
Oh. All right. Before we begin, want to tell everybody about our anniversary?
We had the best anniversary this week. It was real.
April 16th.
We're still celebrating. We're still right. Celebrating.
She made me cry.
I did make her cry.
Tell them why.
Really?
Tell them why. Yeah, really.
So for our anniversary, I made Susie a delicious dinner, early dinner. And when it was time for dessert, she usually always gets a little caramel. But this time, I did something special.
Yeah.
I actually brought a beautiful plate with a gold candle, and on it were three Kilwins dark chocolate covered toffees.
Right.
She loves them so much that I had to actually buy them in Florida, hide it, bring it over. And every time she would look at me for dessert, I wanted to give her one, but I actually hid them. And she started crying when I brought that out.
I love those so much, I can't tell you. But I really started crying because of KT's thoughtfulness.
Mm-hmm. And my card.
And what did I give you?
She gave me a voice card. Instead of, she said, you know, all these years I've always written you anniversary and birthday letter, Christmas, holiday. She writes me beautiful letters. One day I'll publish them and make a fortune. But she writes beautiful, beautiful, beautiful letters, love letters. So this year she decided to give me a voice card. And it was fabulous. And I said, please transcribe it so I can read it. Because what if I lose it?
You won't lose it. But I think it's important that I know my voice is on the air, and KT can always watch old TV shows and everything of me.
No, this was for me.
Right. But this was for KT in a voice that I probably wouldn't use on the air. So that's what we did. We had a great time. All right, KT,
okay.
What do you got?
Susie, my first email is not a question. It's actually a thank you. Ready?
Always ready.
Dear Susie, I found myself at home alone this evening, which is a pretty rare occurrence. My husband had gone to pick up our son from work, and I thought it would be a good opportunity to enjoy some TV. So I went to Freevee and put on the Susie Orman Show. So for those of you that don't know, we have all the episodes from the Susie Orman Show on CNBC available on Freevee TV for free. So just go to Freevee and you can watch all kinds of great Susie Orman. So in the beginning of that first episode, this is from Lisa. She said, Susie, you started talking about material and financial clutter. And she said, I had a large pile of documents that I had accumulated, which needed to be shredded. I actually like shredding. As a receptionist for a law firm, it's something I do daily. I find it soothing, but for some reason, I had let the pile at my home grow for months. I paused the show and immediately shredded everything in that pile. By the time my husband and son got home and settled, I was finished and we sat down and continued watching together. As I'm heading to bed now, I feel so much lighter. I did not realize how much that pile was weighing on me.
Yeah.
Thank you, Susie. You inspire me to be better in so many ways. Sincerely, Lisa.
I love that.
Isn't that great?
I love
that. It really
that, yeah.
does feel good when you get rid of clutter. Doesn't it?
What do I do all the time?
Oh, she throws things away my things away every day. All right, next question.
Wait, I just want to say something, KT. For those of you who haven't gone to Freevee yet, haven't watched the Susie Orman shows, it's funny to see my outfits, glasses, all the things, haircuts. The contract with Amazon is going to be up shortly. And who knows if we'll renew or what will happen with that. So don't miss it. Go now and look at the episodes. They're actually fabulous, many of them timeless and always entertaining. All right, KT.
So this next one is from Gracie, Susie. And I think Gracie needs maybe a little Susie slap down.
Uh-oh.
All right, here we go. Hi, Susie and KT. I hate to admit that I've given up. A bit dramatic, I know. I've always heard that people my age will never be able to afford a home. You ready for this, everyone? Gracie's 34 years old. She said, over the past 12 months, I'm starting to believe it. I earn a decent salary from my area. She makes $87,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
I own my car, have a fully funded emergency fund. I'm self-diagnosed allergic to debt, so I have none. Wait, she said the average home price in my area is around $450,000. It just seems impossible. I feel bad for complaining because I'm in a good spot in my life. I want to eventually get married, have a family, but overall, I want to have something of my own. Outside of earning more money, I do not see any light at the end of the tunnel. Any advice would be appreciated. Susie, what are you going to tell Gracie?
Gracie, I think you should take your name more seriously.
Oh.
Right. I have a thing about names. I always look at somebody's name when I answer a question. And your name is Gracie. Grace. You have to look at what you have. Not at what you wish you could have. So, Gracie, 34 years of age, look at everything you do have. First of all, you're lucky enough to have a career, to be making $87,000, to be allergic to debt, to not have any debt, therefore. There are so many things that you have. Stop feeling sorry for yourself, thinking that it is impossible. Nothing is impossible in life. Maybe just not right now, but one day, absolutely it's possible. How is it possible? Keep saving money. Save, 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 save. Spend less, 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 less. Eventually, you'll have more money to put down. If you have more money to put down on a home, not just $90,000 if the house is $450,000, so that's a 20% down payment, but $200,000 to put down, $300,000 to put down, then you probably will be able to afford the monthly payments. If you continue to think you can't, you never ever will. Gracie, your thoughts are more powerful than you have any idea. Your words, how you feel, is what creates your future. Stop thinking this, saying this, and feeling it. Change your ways. And I promise you one day, you will write me and saying, guess what, Susie? Grace was bestowed upon me, and I bought my first house.
Yay.
You know, the other thing that's funny, Katie, eventually Gracie says she wants to get married. She wants to have kids. Maybe together with her spouse, she'll be able to do that. And what she always has to remember is she wants to own something of her own. She owns her money. She owns her retirement account. She owns all of those things. Those are assets. Mm-hmm. So it's not just a house. That's an asset. All right, go on.
Okay, next question from Kelly. Hi, Susie. I have a question about life insurance. We have a $500,000 whole life policy, and I'm wondering, should I put this in our trust? Mm-hmm. Will the beneficiaries have to pay tax on this amount? And if we change the beneficiary to the owner of the policy, will that work for tax purposes? So Kelly lives in Florida.
Kelly, what you have to understand, it depends when you die, obviously. But currently, the estate tax limit is approximately $13 million a person. So yes, whoever is the owner of this policy, if they were to die, that $500,000 will be included in their estate. If you, for instance, are the primary beneficiary of that policy, it all goes to you. And because you're the spouse, there is no estate taxes. If, let's say, you and your spouse were killed in a car crash together, again, you each can leave $13 million right now, right around there, to your beneficiaries. So I doubt highly, highly that you have to worry about this. So no, you shouldn't put it in your trust. Just leave a named beneficiary so it will go directly to them. However, let's just say you were in a situation where you had $30 or $40 million to your name. Then the $500,000 whole life policy on death would be added to the estate. And yes, estate taxes would be in it. To get around that, you would create what's called a life insurance trust, where the trust owns the insurance policy. Upon death, it's out of your estate. But just somehow, I don't think you're in that situation. Remember, in 2026, everybody, estate taxes are deemed to go back down again, maybe to $5 million or whatever they may be, the value of an estate. And income tax brackets are scheduled to go back up. All right.
All right. Next question. This is from a Susan. I have about $53,000 in a regular IRA, about $75,000 in my 403B. I will have about $24,000 for an emergency fund. I'm 69. I'll be 70 in December. I've worked as a private registered nurse for the last 2 years, full-time before that. I owe $50,000 on my home, and I'm retiring this April. She's retiring now. I will clear $1,760 monthly on Social Security. I need approximately the same amount, $1,760, for bills and basic needs. My house payment is about $700 monthly, which is included in this total bill. So her question is this: Susie, should I pay off my house or transfer money into an annuity or a Roth? So Susan has a multiple question here, I guess, on how to preserve money for her retirement.
Boy, Susan, here is what I would say to you. If you had listened to me a long, long, long time ago, starting actually in 1998, when I did a PBS special called The 9 Steps to Financial Freedom, and I blew the whole world away, America, actually, by talking about a Roth IRA and how they work and how it is the best thing out there. If you had listened at any time since then, and you had been investing in a Roth IRA, in a Roth 403b, and now you're retiring, you could take out $50,000 from that account, either one of them, absolutely tax-free, and you could pay off the mortgage on your home, saving you $700 a month, which would then make things better for you. However, we are short money here, because for you to pay off the home of $50,000, you're going to wipe out either your 403b, and there isn't even enough money in your regular IRA, because remember, you take out $50,000, it's totally taxable to you as ordinary income. So you absolutely would not want to do it this year, because you still have income from being a private registered nurse. So if you're going to do something like that, you wait until next year when you hardly have any income at all. And then if you withdrew that money, it would not be that big of an income tax ding. However, I have to tell you that if you currently are $1,760 a month short, an annuity isn't going to do it for you. Transferring money into a Roth isn't going to do it for you on any level. So what is going to do it for you? You're not going to like this answer, but I'm going to tell it to you. You don't have enough money to retire. You just don't. And that's the God honest truth. Because for you to have even $1,000 a month of income, and you've used up your retirement account simply to pay off the mortgage on your home, where are you going to get that money from? So possibilities are, do you need to sell your home? Take whatever equity is out of that home and either seriously downsize or rent? Or I don't know. But you need to look at this seriously, because your financial situation needs a little bit of nursing. And nobody is better to do that than you. If you can take care of people and nurse them back to health, you can take care of your finances and nurse it back to wealth.
Oh, we need to do a talk to nurses and use that line. That's great.
We do talks to nurses.
I know we love nurses, by the way.
All right.
Okay, next question. Simple question from Sharon Susie. My husband is 70. I am 68. Is there any point in contributing or converting to a Roth at this point in their life?
Listen to me and listen to me closely. If you're still working and you have earned income, you're at least 3 years away from your husband having to take RMDs, required minimum distributions. I would be contributing every penny I could to a Roth, assuming your home is paid off and all of that. If you have IRA money, 401k, traditional retirement money, and depending on your income tax bracket right now, and you do not need the money, you are not going to need to take required minimum distributions at all, oh, you betcha I would be converting at this point in time. Just make sure that you contact your CPA. How much could you convert to a Roth without you going into a higher income tax bracket? You know, KT, I've said it once, I'll say it a million times, there is no investment vehicle, none, that is better than a Roth IRA. Whether it's converting to one, creating one, a backdoor Roth, knowing how to do it. So for next Thursday, I want you to do me a favor. I want to do an entire Ask KT and Susie Anything on Roth IRAs, especially for older people who think that they shouldn't be doing it as they're getting older, especially for the CPAs out there or the accountants out there who are advising you not to do them. It doesn't make sense. That is the worst advice you will ever have in your life, bar none. Please, I am begging you, do not make the mistake of not investing in a Roth. I don't care what your tax bracket is. I don't care what. You cannot pass up the Roth IRAs, 401ks, 403bs, TSBs, SEP IRA Roths, all of them. Do you hear me? All right, KT, will you do that for me?
Okay, so next Thursday, week from today, everybody, tune in. Do not miss it. It's going to be a good one, especially for me. All right, ready? I like this one a lot. I have a question about stock dividends. Mm. For a long time, you've stated that it would be wise to buy stocks that pay dividends.
You bet.
I've done this a lot, but I've recently learned that once a dividend is announced on the record date, the cost of the stock goes down by whatever the dividend was.
Absolutely.
I'm a little bit confused, and I'm having trouble understanding why that's a good deal. It seems to me like it would just be a wash. Any information on this would be appreciated. This is from Christy. What do you recommend?
Yeah, Christy, it is true. Let's say you're about to buy a stock, and it has a 75 cents, or let's just say it has a dollar dividend for that quarter. That would be a lot because that's $4 a year, but that's besides the point. So for that quarter, you get a dollar. And let's say the stock is at $20 a share. If you buy it before it goes ex-dividend, that means if you buy it on the date that it goes ex-dividend, what happens is they reduce the price of the stock. If it's at 20, they reduce it to $19 a share because you weren't on record before that. So therefore, you shouldn't be able to get the dividend, but you're able to get it a dollar cheaper. So in essence, either way, it would be the same. However, eventually that stock goes back up to $20 a share very shortly after that, to tell you the truth. And from that point on, you get that dollar every quarter. So it more than makes up for it. Really, you should just keep doing it and doing it. You can do it on the ex-dividend date, which means if you buy it on that date, you don't get the dividend, but you get to buy the stock, whatever the price is, minus that dividend payment. Yeah.
So the ex-dividend is the day they pay the dividend.
Yes. And okay. So if you bought it on that date, you don't qualify for the dividend, because otherwise you would be getting the dividend and, let's say in this case, a dollar less per share. You have to buy it before the ex-dividend date, so that you can be on record. So when they pay the dividend, you get the dividend, but you don't get both. But really, if you think about it, it's identical. But from that point on, every time you own the stock, you get the dividend no matter what.
Does it go down every time a dividend is paid?
Yeah. You get the dividend and it goes down every time the stock goes ex-dividend, but every time you're getting that dividend and you're reinvesting that dividend, hopefully,
into
that stock. It works out, trust me, right? But there's nothing greater than having dividends, because the majority of your returns, KT, of a stock over a long period of time can be attributed to dividends. Hmm.
So next one, Susie, would you approve to invest at least $50,000 in a multifamily house, ready for this, with about 128 units in Houston, Texas? It doesn't sound like multifamily. It sounds like an apartment building. I was told that I will be able to double my investment in 5 years.
No, you're denied. Anybody who tells you that you're going to double your money in 5 years.
In real estate.
Right, in real estate, especially in Texas, where they've had a lot of flooding. All of that stuff, all of that, who knows what the cost of insurance is going to go to, or if they're even going to insure anymore in Houston. You never know. They stopped insuring in Florida, in California. No, if somebody says that and you're taking somebody else's word for it, I wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot pole. If you yourself knew it, if you did the numbers, if you understood it, okay, but not because somebody else told you it. All right.
Okay, this is from Erica. Hi, Susie and KT. I have a question about special needs trust. I have a 7-year-old daughter and a special needs 10-year-old son. Do I need a special needs trust and a separate revocable living trust for both of them?
Yes.
Okay.
No, not for both of them. What you need is a special needs trust only for your special needs child. You need a living revocable trust for your daughter. However, if you were to die while she's still a minor, then you need to appoint a successor trustee to take care of that money. And within that trust, you will decide how you get money from there into the special needs trust if your son needs it. But your son does not need a living revocable trust and a special needs trust. He only needs a special needs trust. Otherwise, he will be disqualified from SSI.
So next is from Stephen. Good morning, Susie. Thank you for your great podcast. Do you still recommend dollar cost averaging into 20 and 30 year bonds in addition to dividend paying stocks in my IRAs? I notice the bond rates are increasing.
I do, but do a 30-year versus a 20. And why is that? Because 20-year bonds are not very liquid, believe it or not, which is why they pay you a little bit higher interest rate. 30-year bonds are about 4.7% right now. I think it is possible that they could go to 5%, which is why I've said little by little. So you might want to put a little into a 30-year bond now. And then if it goes up a little bit more, once it hits around 5%, maybe that will be when you go in with the rest of it. I absolutely still recommend that without a shadow of a doubt. And as always, for real growth, dividend-paying stocks is a great way to go. All right, KT, do you know what time it is?
It's time for Can I Afford It, Quizzy? I'm ready.
And she's ready. You got out your little Susie notebook?
I have a big, fat Susie notebook, everybody. I've been taking notes for 23 years.
But you know what I've been doing for 23 years?
Saving my notes.
Every single scrap of paper.
Well, we have to explain. I make little post-it notes when I leave or if I'm going somewhere, and I leave them around for her to find. It's like a game we have, and she saves them all.
Right. For 23 years, I have saved every single note, letter, everything she has ever written for me. Anyway, this is the Can I Afford It for everybody, not just KT. This is where I want you to take notes on, can this person afford what she wants to buy? Because if you can figure it out for other people, guess what? You can figure it out for yourself. So get ready to write this down. We have a woman by the name of Lori. She is 66 years of age and she is in good health. She currently owns a home outright that her deceased husband left for her. And it's a home on 30 acres. She actually only lives on 2 of the acres and leases out the other 28 to a neighbor. And she has lived there for 30 years. She is afraid that as she gets older, she will not be able to continue to live in the house. So what does she want to do? She wants to buy a condo for $300,000. Now, her house is currently worth, with the land, $550,000 to $650,000.
That's good.
That's good. Because if she sold it, she could buy the condo. However, she doesn't want to wait to sell it.
Mm.
She wants to buy the condo right here and right now, because she's afraid that if she doesn't buy it right now, that it's going to be sold and it won't be there for her. So can she afford it or not?
Show me the money, Susie.
All right. That was good, KT.
Show me the money.
I used to love to say that. So show me the money. Her income is comprised of VA benefits of about $1,612 a month, as well as Social Security survivor benefits of $1,628 a month, and two part-time jobs where she makes $2,000 a month for a total of $5,240 a month.
Good.
That's her income. Let's talk for a second, however, about her expenses. Lori says that her current monthly expenses are only utilities and insurance, which are $623 a month. Now, Lori also has a little credit card debt, $3,500 for hearing aids that she bought at 0%. So she pays an additional $475 on that debt as well. So Lori is telling me that her total monthly expenses are only $1,098 at this time. Lori, let's get real. You have gasoline, you have food, you have entertainment, you have maintenance, you have all kinds of things.
Clothing,
everything. So how much should we add to that, really, KT? Another $2,000 a month?
Yeah. Why not? Yeah.
No, but you think that's conservative?
Even $1,800. Let's say $1,800 a month.
All right. So $1,800 to $2,000 a month. But if that's true, then Lori's expenses, let's just say, are $3,000 a month for everything. Going to the dentist, going here, going there. It's got to average that. Giving gifts to people, all of that. So I want you all to think about this. Two things. Lori's income is how much? $5,240 a month. Her expenses are $3,000 a month, which leaves $2,240 a month to live on.
Not very much.
If Lori gets ill and can't work those two part-time jobs, that's an additional $2,000 right now. That goes away. That leaves you, Lori, with $240 a month of income. But okay, not so bad, because you also have money in retirement accounts that can generate income for you. Her assets are $240,000 in a 401k. That's pre-tax, everybody. $75,000 between an IRA and a Roth. So some of that is also pre-tax. $10,000 in stocks and $45,000 in checking and savings. So all together with all of that, that comes to approximately $370,000.
In investments,
In cash that she has. Here's the thing, however. Are you all following me? All right. Even though she has good credit, KT, her bank is only willing to give her a $170,000 loan on the condo. They also want an additional $18,700 in closing costs.
Ooh.
Or whatever that money is for, they want the additional 11% of $170,000. That means she also has to come up with $130,000 to be able to buy the condo, because the condo is $300,000. Again, her intention is to pay off the loan in full as soon as the house is sold. The HOA fees right now on the condo are $125 a month. But remember, and she doesn't include it, she will also have condo insurance and other things that are in there. So if we added that to her monthly expenses, now we're getting close. However, the $170,000 loan at about 7.75% interest, because that is the going interest rates right now on 30-year mortgages, come to approximately $1,454.
A month.
A month.
Ooh.
So if we add that $1,454 to the $3,000 that are currently her monthly expenses, plus the $125 for the condo association fees, I don't know, Katie. That brings us to almost like $4,500, $4,600 a month of expenses. And right now she's only bringing in about $5,000.
Okay, so the big question, can she afford it?
Can she afford it? My question to you, Lori, is, and you, KT, where is she going to get the $130,000 from?
I want my answer now?
Yeah.
All right. She can't afford it, Susie, because she has to sell the house first.
Yeah.
In other words, Lori, you can't, if you cash all your stuff in and your investments and your pay taxes, you're going to wipe yourself out and you're
totally,
at high
because
risk.
I just want to say this.
She's at high risk because she hasn't yet sold the house. And what about those what ifs? What about those storms?
What about all kinds of things
What about
happen?
A twister coming and taking that roof right,
right
off?
But here's the thing. So do you approve her or deny her?
I have to deny her because she... You have to sell the house first, then you can do all of this.
Yeah. So
but you can't just go and buy it with what? You don't want to cash out all of these retirement funds.
So here's the thing, Lori, you're asking, I am a first-time home buyer and I'm nervous. You should be nervous.
Yeah.
And I do not want you to do this. To just come up
I don't want you to do it either.
Yeah. To come up with the other $130,000. Really, Lori, you would have to, because most of your money is in the 401k, the old one, and it's pre-tax. You'd have to wipe that clean, and after taxes, maybe it would give you your $130,000. That wouldn't leave you with enough money if something happened, number one. Number two, let's talk about condos for a second.
Yeah.
What do you want to say, KT?
So Susie and I buy a condo in Florida after years of both of us having owned and paid for homes with no mortgages. And now we go buy this condo and we buy it outright. And Susie's big brother said, hey, girls, don't forget, you're buying a condo. You're never going to be in a situation where those expenses go down. Just remember, I'm warning you. And he's right. We've been assessed twice. The expenses
the last
only go up.
We had was $14,000. So expenses go up, you have assessments, all things that you don't experience in a home that you own yourself, number one. And number two, when you buy a condo, condos do not appreciate as much as homes. And why is that? You have to know, is the condo filled, the other condos in that unit that you're buying, are they filled with renters or condo owners? Because if they're filled with renters, that immediately brings the value down, number one. Number two, you're obviously buying this condo because you want to know as you get older, you'll be able to stay there and it will be friendly for elderly people. I would rather see you do the following. I want you to stay in your home right now, period. For as long as you possibly can. Lori, you have enough money that if you needed somebody to help you to mow the lawn or do certain things, just hire somebody to come in far cheaper. But there will possibly come a time when you really do need to sell it. And you need to sell it to move somewhere, most likely, where you can be taken care of. Or there's facilities for you, like an independent living facility that also has assisted living there and other things.
And they're so nice these days.
So I mean, nice.
Really building beautiful.
Because I don't want to see you buy a condo right now at the sky high interest rates that we have. Move in, maybe not like it because your neighbors upstairs have kids or whatever and they're running all over the place and you can hear it. It's not like a single family home. So if that happened and you moved and you got older and you needed help, you'd have to sell it again and do what I'm suggesting, going into a place that will help you and take care of you. Don't take the intermediate step of buying a condo. Stay in your home, have a great time, fix it up a little bit if you need to, you have the money to do so, and have a great life. But you are denied, my dear friend. Do not buy the condo. And one thing before we sign off, everybody. Lori, I know you think that this condo won't be there. But I got news for you. There will always be another condo that you can buy. So the rules you all need to live your life by. You sell before you buy. You do not buy and then hopefully want to sell because you never know when you won't be able to. And now you are stuck with two places. All right, everybody. So Susie's school's coming up on Sunday. Do you know what that's going to do? What I'm going to do on Susie's school?
No, what are you going to do?
I don't know either, but I'll have to figure it out. But really, there's only one thing that we want you to remember when it comes to your money. And what is that, my love?
It's people first, then money, then things.
And if you do that, what's going to happen?
You will be unstoppable. I'm unstoppable. I'm a butcher with no brakes. I'm invincible. Yeah, I win every single game. Mine's so powerful. I don't need batteries to play. I'm so confident. Yeah, I'm unstoppable today. Unstoppable today.
Neither Susie Orman Media nor Susie Orman is acting as a certified financial planner, advisor, a certified financial analyst, an economist, CPA, accountant, or lawyer. Neither Susie Orman Media nor Susie Orman make any recommendations as to any specific securities or investments. All content contained in this podcast is for informational and general purposes only and does not constitute financial accounting or legal advice. You should consult your own tax, legal, and financial advisors regarding your particular situation. Neither Susie Orman Media nor Susie Orman accepts any responsibility for any losses which may arise from accessing or reliance on information in this podcast. And to the fullest extent permitted by law, we exclude all liability for loss, damages, direct or indirect, arising from the use of this information. The must-have documents discussed in this podcast are legal documents created by a lawyer and distributed by Hay House.